Hello, everyone. Welcome. Today is Tuesday, January 2nd, 2024. I am Solid Blue Sister, and this is My Turn to Talk. We made it to 2024. Everyone had a good new year, and we're looking forward to continue good new year, even though we're only 2 days in. But lots of things are going in 2024, so we shall see what happens. We shall see. Hey, Crazy. Hey, Minnesota Ace. Welcome, welcome. Brina, Brina, hey, hey, hey. And to everyone else, wherever you're listening, on the live, on the replay, welcome and thank you very, very much. Always appreciate it. I'm glad you're able to make it today at the beginning. I guess it's that thing called vacation. Hey, Luke Power Girl. Hey, you're here at the beginning. Oh, boy. Yep, I guess it's all called vacation. Unexpected life. What do you do when life happens? I mean, life happens all the time. Every day, life happens. something will happen. Life happened to me last week. I actually had to go into the bank first time in over a year to get something straight, still trying to get it straight. Life happened, even though I did kind of mess up a little bit, but you know, what do you do when things just either don't go your way or things do go your way? What if you were to win the lotto? You know, life happens. You know, how much would your life change? How much would it stay the same? You know, I know, Brina, but this, I had to go in. This was something where I had to go in. This wasn't an over the phone thing, you know, but, what do you do? What do you do when, you know, your kid comes home and, you know, gives you some news that you may or may not want it to hear? You know, what happens if, you know, you break up with a significant other, your spouse comes home and says, I want a divorce. You know, your kid comes home and say, hey, I just got married. What do you do when life happens? A says, I'm personally sick and tired of life happening. Life happening. Or, well, you know, I mean, Brian says, remember to breathe, try to make a game plan, possibly while crying a little, you know, that this is true. You know, this is the beginning of a new year, beginning of a new year. So people make, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do this. I'm going to eat better. This is what I'm going to do for the year. Well, I learned a long time ago, I don't do yearly resolutions. I do weekly ones. And when I do weekly ones, it gets me into the habit of doing something all the time. So, but you know, what do you do? I mean, this is the beginning of a new year. Hey, Shorty. Do we change the way we do things? I mean, Ace, if you're sick of life happening, what is the alternative? What is the alternative? Hey, welcome, welcome, Miss DeMay. Welcome, welcome. What is the alternative? I mean, if you're really, you know, sick and tired of life, well, I'm not going to say that because that's not what you said. But what is the alternative? You know, What do you do? I mean, do you just breathe the way Brina said? Do we all go around every day just taking deep breaths, hoping things will change, hoping things will go right for us? Lou says, focus on the good, let go of the bad. But okay, but Lou, but like we were talking, I think in one of the last week's shows, I mean, what if there's no good, that all around you is bad? What if all around you bad things are going on? What do you do? I mean, what do you do if you come home one day and all of your utilities are shut off? True, maybe you didn't pay your utility bills. But has life just gotten so bad that you had to make a choice between, do I pay the light bill so we can have some light so we can eat our food, or do I buy food so even though we're eating in the dark? What do you do when you have to make those life choices? What do you do when one choice is not as good as the other choice, but is one choice always better than the first choice? Would you rather eat? Or would you rather see where you're going so you don't bump into your sofa? Lou says, life doesn't stop for anyone. less bills. Crazy says, you find a candle and then figure it out while playing cards in the dark and heat. Okay. All right. And Lou says, I'm eating. Sometimes having food will be better, like some candles. Yeah. But you would be amazed of how many people choose not to eat, and they'll go spend that money on something else. Eat before the sun goes down. I mean, what do you do? You know, because all of us go through life where something happens. Where all of us go through life where there's this is what I truly believe. I truly believe that we all go through life where there's some type of life altering event that has happened. Whatever it may be. It could be, again, it could be something good. It could be something bad. Been there while growing up. You know, hello, you know. And a lot of things we learn while growing up that we should, or we should have learned while growing up, we don't always learn. Sometimes we got to do a replay and a repeat, and we don't get those life's lessons until we're older. Lou says, still struggling though, have to keep going. Mr. May says, don't panic. If you have children, make it fun for them. But how do you make it fun? How do you make it fun if you're in a situation where there's war? Or you live in an area of the world where, you know, you don't know if you're going to survive, literally survive the next day or the next hour. And you have children. How do you make it fun for them? Is it possible? Do you panic? Brennan says your friend should be there to talk you through it. They might think of an option for you, an option you haven't. This is true. And Mr. Mason says, now that's very different than just having your lights off. Yes, it is. And Shorty says you can make it fun. So again, I mean, I know it's a huge jump from having your lights off to being in a war-torn area. But what do you do if you are in that situation? What do you do if life happens? Because life happens from one extreme to another huge, huge, huge extreme. I mean, parts of Japan just had a major earthquake yesterday. And they're saying, you know, that it was a huge tsunami. Now, I'm in Southern California. We get earthquakes, but I haven't had to worry about a tsunami. Does life happen? Does that life altering thing, does it take you to the next level? What do you do? Is this something that we need to prepare for? Do we need to prepare? Yes, 7.5. Do we need to prepare for life happening? And the thing that got me about Japan is last week, I was literally just talking to a friend who said that their son was over in Japan on a USC international, one of those school things. And he's studying there for the year. And he's the first person that I thought of. How do you deal with life happening? And Mr. May says, best to be honest with the children, but let them know that we have each other. But how honest are you with children when it's an extreme? I mean, telling your children that the lights are off because you weren't able to pay the bill, you know, the heat's off, what are the water, you don't have water, utilities being off, as opposed to, again, being the extreme. You're in a war-torn area, but you even have to tell them the truth because children know. When you have something like 9/11 that happened, that's a life-altering thing for some families, for some people. Mr. May says it depends upon the age, depends upon the circumstances. But when life happens, it usually catches us by surprise. And a lot of times we're not prepared, but sometimes we are. Sometimes we can see the writing on the wall. Sometimes, you know, if you don't pay that utility bill, you know that, you know, they get that, you get that disconnect notice. If you don't pay by, you know, June 1st, your lights will be out on June 2nd. But what do you happens when you don't get that notice? What happens when you don't get that life's notice and you're like, oh, damn. I didn't see that coming. I mean, from everything from a job loss to sickness, to going to the doctor and you just had that little cough and they tell you that it's something much more serious. What do you do? I mean, do we have to literally be prepared for anything? Mr. May says, my mom would tell us the lights are out. We got used to it because she had five children and she was on welfare. Okay. All right. Shorty says, yes. You know, we're always told that you need to save your money. You need to have savings. You know, you should have at least 6 months. Now they say you should almost have, you know, a year to 2 years worth of savings just because of the times that we're living in. Everybody focuses on money. But what about other things that happen in life? You know, I guess it goes to that whole preparedness, you know. How many people would be able to live a month in their house? Not going outside, not going to the market, not going anywhere, but you have to stay inside. How many people have enough food? I'm not saying you have to, you know, have steak dinners, whatever, but yeah, those ramen noodles that you can eat every day. Yeah, you get sick of them after 30 days, but you're still eating. How many people, you know, are prepared in that way? We're living in a time where anything could happen. But it seems like that time is every decade. Every decade we're living in the time when anything can happen. Mr. May says, we have to teach our children about finances. I wish I knew back then what I know now. But even if we had $10 million in the bank, and we had $1 million in cash in our house, but we weren't able to leave our house because of a natural disaster, is that money going to do anything for you? I mean, is that money going to, you know, feed you if you don't have any food in the house and you can't go out? You know, so again, I say, what do you do when life happens? Are we prepared for people dying? I mean, last year, on my last show, I said that some of us didn't make it in 2023, and some of us may not make it to 2024. But if someone were to pass away unexpectedly, how would we deal with it? You know, but then again, we have people who we know they're going to pass because they have some sickness or something. Sometimes I think that's even harder to deal with than someone just passing, just dropping dead one day, as opposed to you knowing that they're going to pass. What do you do? Because all of this impacts our lives. There are so many things that happen, you know, that can happen in life happening that can impact our lives in so many different ways. You know, and just because you're older doesn't mean that you know everything. But you know more things than some younger people do. But we all still have to deal with, no matter how old you are, we still have to deal with that unexpected life. Absolutely. No one knows everything. Okay, Ms. DeMay says, I think the other way around. You know, so I don't know. Life is short. Life is very short. And like I said, even you live to that ripe old age of 100, you're going to look back and say, dang, these last 100 years went by fast. So are we prepared? It is hard both ways, most definitely. So are we prepared when life happens? Do we have to make those adjustments? No one's life is perfect. Some people may have more than others. More is not always better. Okay, Ms. DeMay says, I'm not prepared. You know, and then again, what does being prepared mean? Does it mean you're prepared that, you know, if you lose your job, that you can pay your rent for the next 6 months, that you can feed your family? Does being prepared means that if it was a snowstorm or a tsunami or an earthquake or something, that, you know, you would be able, you know, you have the means to survive without having to go out to the store if all the stores closed and you couldn't use your debit card and ATMs and what have you? Does that mean that you know, have a closet full of food? Is that what being prepared means? Exactly. What does that mean? What does being prepared mean? Okay, Brina says, I think being prepared means knowing your resources and support system. But what life happens, Brina? Life happens. What happens if that support system isn't there? What happens if something happens to your support system? What happens if that support system that you were relying on got into a car accident? If they were the one that died suddenly? What do you do? Now, one thing that I'm always telling my son is, your father and I are not going to be here forever. We're not going to be here forever. You need to make sure you do this. You need to make sure you do this. You need to learn how to do this. You need to learn how to do that. And it's not to scare him, but it is to prepare him. But how well can you be prepared when something unexpected happens? And Brina says, we all think we know until we don't know. You are absolutely right. Lou says, have to keep moving forward. I learned a lot last year. And I think the things that we learn, you know, we have to apply them somewhat to our lives. My mother used to say to my sister and I, what would you do if we dropped dead tomorrow? And my sister and I, we just had this blank look on our face. And my mother would say, yeah, that's what I thought. She says, you two better start acting like your daddy and I are going to drop dead tomorrow. And I find myself saying that to my son because I knew the lesson that was there. Brina says, what if you got a flat tire on the side of the road, have a spare, but get robbed? You prepare, but there was a pivot. Yeah, those pivots and those variables that you now bring in, those variables that Crazy talks about. You know, my grandma used to say that. You know, I mean, seriously, what do you do? But Brina, how many people know how to change a tire? That's number one. What if you don't get robbed, but you have a flat on the side of the road, you have the spare, but you're standing there because you don't know how to change the tire? And you were there for so long, somebody came along and then robbed you. If you had changed the tire, you maybe you wouldn't have been robbed. You know? So what do you do? Then again, you know, are you prepared where you carry a gun? You have your flat tire, side of the road, you have your spare, somebody comes to rob you. They see that you're armed, and they keep on going. Yes, guns are handy sometimes, Lou. So again, what does being prepared mean? Does it mean that you have money in the bank? Does it mean you constantly have food in your house? That you don't drive without that spare, that you have enough gas in your tank to get from point A to B, that you carry a little extra cash in your wallet just in case you can't use your ATM card. What does being prepared mean? Because I think no matter how prepared you can be, something unexpected is going to happen. And for whatever reason, we're not prepared. And at the beginning, I mentioned, what if you won the lotto? Is everyone prepared to win the lotto? And what I mean by that is everyone responsible enough to deal with that amount of money? Princess, I win the lotto, I'm out. You know, and I say that, I say that because how many people have you heard that have won large sums of money and within a year they're broke? Within a year, they're right back where they started, you know, or even worse. The lottery curse. Yes, that is what they call it. So life happened. It's a good thing. But are you prepared to handle it? Are you prepared to handle that inheritance that you got from your grandfather, from your mother, whatever? Why is it that you have some people who say, I'm not leaving all my money to my kids because this kid will run through it in this amount of time and this kid will do this with it and this kid, so I'm going to give it all to that kid. So again, what does being prepared mean? Just because you come from money doesn't mean you know how to handle money. If you don't come from money and you get money, can you still handle money? Britton says, true mental strength goes a long way. Mental strength. How many people have that? And you bring up a good point, because how many people would you, if you really think about it, how many people would you be able to count on to have the mental strength to be able to handle really serious things? People that you could really count on to do certain things. Is it just a handful of people? Is it just one or two? Is it a lot? Do you know those people that, you know, you're my friend, I like you, but no, I'm not gonna count on you to do this particular thing? Because you know that they get upset, you know, if the lights went out. They're the ones freaking out. Because they didn't get the seat that they wanted at the movies or on the plane or something. Lou says, I have no one to count on. Sorry to hear that, Lou. Brina says, a lot of people fold unnecessarily under pressure. It can be sad for them not to think so dark. But this is what I'm saying. So what you just said, mental strength. Do you need that mental strength? Is that mental strength necessary to be prepared when life happens? But a lot of people do, Brina. A lot of people do. I have seen people freak out over the fact that their computer is not working correctly. Literally. Or you see those people, I mean, and it sounds funny, but when you think about it, you see those people that when you are in the lobby, and they're pushing the button, and they keep pushing the button. You know, it's like if you keep pushing that button, the elevator is miraculously going to come. And yes, those are the people that just need to breathe. those are the people that just need to breathe. Or you're at the crosswalk and you're pushing the walk button so you can cross, so you can cross the street. And you keep pushing the button, keep pushing the button, keep pushing the button. No, the lights and everything are on a timer. They know, it knows you're standing there. When it's your turn, the light will change and you can cross the street. My son does that, super impatient, Rena says. But are those the people who you are going to count on to handle some really serious stuff? If you were in the hospital, if you had to go into the hospital for a week, are those the people that you're going to count on to handle certain aspects of your life? If they're impatient just for the elevator? Or the people that constantly complain? Breathing doesn't work for them. Because they won't even breathe correctly because they're complaining so much. Are those the people, you know, I mean, when you, I mean, seriously, when you think about it, are those the people that always freak out every time something happens? They just don't know how to handle it. I mean, they just get upset. I mean, because a lot of times we can scream, jump up and down, do whatever. Still didn't change anything. I had a friend who used to always get upset because when her daughter was little, and it only happened with water. I don't know why, but it always happened with water. She would give her daughter water in one of those little sippy cups. And her daughter learned how to take the top off. And she would pour the water out. And she would just get so upset, get mad, start yelling and what have you. And, you know, I was there a couple of times it happened. I said, you know, it's only water. You know, yeah, you have to teach her not to do that, which eventually a little girl learned not to do it, you know, but it was just water. It was just water. You can wipe it up. It's a lot easier than wiping up milk, juice, coffee, food. You know, it was just water. So when life happens to people like that who just freak out over the little things, what are you going to do when something big happens? I don't know. Lou says, my dad always told, don't depend on anyone. I just go with what he taught me. Okay. You know, Lou, I can agree with that up to a point about not depending on anyone, but there is a time when you may have to depend on someone because you need help. I mean, I don't like to depend on people either, but there are times when you do have to call and say, I need help. Can you help me? So I agree with that up to a point. Let's see. A says, we live in a society that doesn't allow you the benefit of breathing. Just when you start to think you can breathe, the next avalanche hits. That's why so many people cannot help but panic over the little things, knowing it's the beginning of a possible avalanche. But Ace, don't you think that's a little cynical, though? And Mr. May says, be nice while going up. Never know who you will meet. This is true. This is true. Okay, but I mean, it's almost as if, I mean, so Ace, are you anticipating that the boogeyman is around every corner? Because to me, if you live in a society where you think that something's always going to happen, how many people are going to have heart attacks or, you know, whatever? And Mr. May says, you can't live like that. No. A says, I have learned in life to prepare for the worst and hope for the best, but the boogeyman is my homeboy. So is there any way to get rid of the boogeyman? Can we live our lives where the boogeyman is not around every corner? I mean, is that possible? I mean, because like I said, I think with every decade, there's always something. If it's not a war, it's a depression, it's a virus, it's something. There's always something that we're always going to have to deal with. And Ace, I do agree with you up to a point. I agree with you and I agree with Lou up to a point. But then do we get to the point where we isolate ourselves from the rest of the world because we're afraid of the boogeyman? So should the boogeyman be someone that we're prepared for? Mr. May says, in a way, but there are bad people out there, but you can't live in fear. Okay. So let's see something for a moment. Hey, Grid, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Hope you had a good new year. A says, you can never be fully prepared. Life is a hurricane. Just learn to ride the waves. Okay. Hey, Jim girl, how are you? Thank you, Grid. Thank you. Yeah. I don't know. Good, Jim girl. Mr. May says, if you are afraid of the boogeyman all the time, it's not a good place to be. And Ace, I know you're not saying that you're afraid of the boogeyman, but you just, oh, okay, and Ace is here. Hey, Ace.
Look, I was trying to be a productive adult and actually clean, but that's cool. I need a break.
So tell us about the boogeyman.
Yeah, the boogeyman. life is not a fairy tale. There's always going to be something around the corner. There's no way around that. If life was a fairy tale, to be honest, it'd be really boring. So the way that I look at it is you can only prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Doesn't mean that you have to always be 10 toes down on guard, but you still have to approach everything with some sort of sense of caution. Regardless, like you said, it's always something as far as worldwide is concerned. It's always something. It would be naive to think that there's not going to be something that occurs in your own backyard, whether you're prepared for it or not. Now, can you have a sense of being prepared? Absolutely. You can take certain measures to be prepared to an extent, but no matter what you do, something is always going to hit you that you were not prepared for. That's life be lifin'. I mean, I don't know what else to call it. Life be lifin'.
Okay, so let me ask this, and this may be a stretch for some people, but these are things that I think about in my head. And Ace, thank you for joining me in my space.
This is not a space.
All right, so considering what's going on across the ocean with wars and everything, sometimes I do think that we are a little naive to think that we actually cannot have a war break out here in this country from another country. Do you think that's possible? Like, it could very well happen. And are we prepared? Are we as a society or as individuals, are we prepared that that just may happen?
Can it happen? Abso-frickin-lutely. However, we have been built and lulled in this sense of delusion that we are untouchable. We are the United States of America. Nobody would mess with us because we're the big dogs. So no, we're not prepared. Not as a society.
So do you think that we should prepare as an individual? Like Grit just says, I'm a
as build, individuals to an extent. Yeah. To an extent, we should prepare as individuals, but we shouldn't be so paranoid about it that we go completely off grid and build us an underground bunker and learn how to live like that and forget the rest of the world. You still have to be connected to what's going on.
So when I say, you know, are we prepared? Are you prepared for this? Are you prepared for that? Whatever. What does being prepared mean to you? I mean, because to me, we can never be prepared for everything. But what does when people say, are you prepared? What is the first thing that you think of?
Look, I ain't gonna lie. I think about the zombie apocalypse like F1 said. That'd be my thing. I'm that kind of person where I've honestly always had a month's worth at least of dry stock goods, and I have bottled water and things like that. When quote unquote COVID hit and we were all supposed to be on lockdown mandated and da 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 da, I was that person that didn't need to go to the store and get tissue. That's just how I've always lived, because I know what it's like to be without, and I know what it's like when things hit the fan for me personally as an individual. So I've learned to be remotely prepared that at any point in time my fortune could change and I need to be able to scrape things together, I guess you can say, in a sense, without having to leave my home, let alone until recently I worked from home anyway, so it was nothing for me to be in my house. But I guess in the sense of prepared, it's a matter of just knowing that you can take care of you and whomever's in your household, at least with food. If you don't know how to entertain yourself without electricity, because who's to say, maybe one day the whole power grid goes out and you're going to be clawing your eyes out because you have no internet, no Netflix, no Facebook, no Instagram, Snapchat, whatever, then maybe you need to learn to disconnect from all of that for a while and go back to just playing board games and card games and reading books. Our house is filled with all sorts of things. We don't stick glued to our TVs and our phones or computers. My kids know what it's like to go play outside. We go camping and things like that. So to an extent, being prepared is just knowing how to entertain yourself outside of the comforts of living you've become so used to, while still knowing that if it boils down to it, you can figure out how to cook a can of beans to feed your kids that's been sitting in your thing because you made sure that you always had stocked canned goods.
Ace, I couldn't have said it better myself. Very well said. Very well said. Yes, I mean, I think Ace just answered. I mean, I agree. I mean, Chris says my kids would run zombies just for Wi-Fi. And Boss says, as a doomsday prepper, we should all try to be individually prepared. Boss, I am with you on that. I'm not a doomsday prepper, but I am a prepper to a certain extent. And we would be able to go about 6 months if something were ever to happen with, you know, with the whole food thing. So, yeah. And like Ace said, you know, pull out those board games and pull out those books, because, you know, when things go down, Wi-Fi is not going to be there. You're not going to be able to text, you know, your next door neighbor who's sitting right in front of you. So, Mr. May says, yeah, if we think nothing can happen to you or the nations around us come have a war here in the U.S., these things can and will happen. We have to be vigilant and ready. I mean, we do. I mean, you know, I'm just thinking about every time there's a war, I always say, when is it coming here? You know, because I always thought that it was, it just amazed me how shocked, you know, the U.S. was that, oh my God, 9/11 happened, and how dare they come over here? Well, why can't they come over here? We go over there. We go everywhere. Why can't someone come here? And I know some people who listen to this are probably going to get mad about what I'm about to say, but their choice of weapon was brilliant. They used an airplane. No one saw it coming. Hey, Chill, welcome. No one saw it coming. Why can't it happen here? And are we prepared? That's the unexpected thing. That's a huge unexpected thing. Do we need to go back, you know, to the 50s where people were building the bunkers and what have you? Hey, Fair, welcome. You know, what do you do? You know, so I think Ace said it very, very well. You know, we have to be prepared for practically anything. But there's always going to be something that we're not prepared for. And death is usually one of them. Even if we know it's coming, we're never prepared, because how do you prepare for that? I mean, if it's yourself, yes, you can say, I want this to happen, I want this to happen, and take care of this, this, and this, but are we really prepared for it? I'm not prepared for it. I'm not prepared to die. If we have a loved one that's sick, and you know that soon is going to happen, are you prepared for it? They're in hospice. Are you prepared for it? I don't think you are really prepared. Chris says, all you can do is get your affairs in order, I suppose. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. You know, this was a topic I had on the back burner, and then a couple of things happened last week, and I said, let me go ahead and do this show. Hey, the Coffee Podcast, welcome. Maybe it's time we collectively boycott some of these propaganda and policies that have been designed to discriminate. Mr. May says, I update my will every year. Blunt says, this is hitting home for me. My dad passed away suddenly. We are trying to find papers and policies, and we can't locate anything. You know what sounds morbid, Blunt? when my mom passed away in 2021, independent. She lived by herself. I'm 2,000 miles away. My sister is just maybe 40 miles away, whatever. And this sounds really morbid, but this is what my mother did. She had everything sitting on the dining room table. All the paperwork, everything was on the dining room table. With a note to my sister and I. Everything you need to know is here. I don't want you guys to have to go looking through anything. It was there. You know, so I don't know how long it had been there. I know it wasn't there when my father passed away. But it was there. Then come to find out that that's what my grandmother did. So my dad and his siblings wouldn't have to look through anything. And it's something that, you know, that I have updated, not sitting out on the table, but my son knows where everything is. Farrah says, all we can really prepare is from a financial and asset perspective, maybe prearrange funeral expenses, plan on what you do with things or who you will pass it on. Minnesota says, no, you're never prepared. Okay, Minnesota, I understand where you're coming from. Other than that, not much, just brace for the impact. Grit says, yep, tuck your head between your knees and enjoy the ride. Yeah, but you got to at least watch. She goes too fast. She was smart. Fair says, yeah, I'm looking to start setting up some stuff as well, like a will and trust to prepare. Leave behind. Wise very well. Yeah, she was to the point where it used to drive us crazy, Grit. Literally, you know. But at the same time, you know, I have my what do you call that thing? I did that last year. My medical directive. I mean, it sounds morbid, you know, but these are things, you know, I don't want people fighting. You know, and I have seen families just fight. You know, but at the same time, it's not just being prepared with your life when your life ends. But as, you know, as we were saying before, it's also just being prepared just for other things. How many people are prepared if the lights went out? You have a generator, or you have some type of something that will give you power.
Look, I'll tell you something, Solid. Very first time I finally got my own place when me and my mom were, like, well, me and my mom were actually on good terms. Been through many places before that, but we were finally on good terms, and I got my first place. One thing my mom gave me, and I thought it was the weirdest thing, was a box full of candles and matches. When I tell you I now always have a box full of candles and matches, because you never know. And I've had that where, like, real bad storms hit and we've been without power. Guess what, baby? I got candles. I've been waiting to burn.
But you know what, Ace? There are a lot of people who don't have candles in their house. There are people who don't have flashlights. I mean, we have flashlights in every room. You know, and as silly as it sounds, the lights go out. You need those candles. But a lot of people don't pay attention to that. You know, even if those candles are in your drawer for 2 years, there's going to come a time when you, like you said, Ace, you are happy that you have those candles and those matches. So being prepared is not just about the wills and the, you know, medical directives. Is also, it's not, and like I said, it's not just about the money. You have all this money saved, but you know, your money is not going to help you if you're in the dark during a storm. You're going to need candles and matches. You're going to need flashlights. You know, and I have also learned, you know, being on the prepping side, that those flashlights and batteries and candles and matches, that if you, if something really bad happens and you have to barter with somebody, those are good things to use to barter. That's your money. Because you can give me $5 for something, but if I'm hungry, I don't want your $5. I want ramen noodles. I want something to eat. Blunt says, I'm in the midst of overwhelming paperwork and he didn't have anything prepared for us. And my mom can't even find her birth certificate because he had it. I'm sorry, Blunt. Things can happen quickly. So if it's a less burden for those loved ones you leave behind, I can't take anything with me. I'm no Farah. It's amazing to see chaos in the family after your death. That's why I'm going to have everything in order when I go. Yeah, that chaos in the family. And Wi-Fi. Oh, Lord. You know, but, you know, again, life can happen in any way, any shape, any form. It just can. You know, and are you going to be prepared or are you not? But I will say to people who have children, even if it means you're just writing something down on a piece of paper of what you want, do it. Have two witnesses, get it notarized, make a couple of copies. Because you never know. You never know. Because when you don't want family fighting over stuff, then everybody gets an attorney. And family ends up with nothing, and the attorneys get everything. If you know a kid wants this particular thing because they've always liked it, leave it for them. If you know the other kid likes this because they always like that, leave it for them. But if you have children, even if you only have five cents, 10 cents. Everybody gets a penny. If you choose to do it like that. Maybe somebody's not going to get anything. Maybe if somebody's going to get 9 cents, one person only get a penny. But we all made it to 2024. We may not make it to 2025. We may not make it to the end of this year, the end of this week. We don't know. But Blunt, I would say, as Brina says, take a breath and just systematically take your time and go through everything. And hopefully things will fall into place. A says, my siblings told my mom they want of hers. I told her I want nothing of hers, just the stuff my Nana left behind. Mr. May says, my kids all know what I want. Do not put me in the ground. Cremate, and my daughter will keep me on her mantle. Okay. Great, you and this Wi-Fi, all you have is your Wi-Fi password. Oh, Lord. Well, if there's an apocalypse, Wi-Fi is going to go out the window anyway. I don't think anybody's going to be worrying about the Wi-Fi. We're all going to be living like Mad Max. So, I don't know. But anyway, Ms. Ace, thank you for being in my space. I appreciate it. But I am going to leave you guys with what song am I going to leave y'all with today? All the passwords are written down. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to leave y'all with a little bit of Nancy Wilson. I've been wanting to play this song, even though this song really doesn't correlate with the topic today. I just love this song. I've had it to play. So this is not just for the women. This is also for the men. If you're listening to the words, Nancy Wilson, one of my favorites, Face It Girl, It's Over. And as always, guys, thank you guys for listening in and liking the show and participating.
When you look into his eyes and he turns away, when you're at a corner table and there's nothing much to say, does he have to draw your picture? Does he have to spell it out? Face it, girl. It's over. Oh, yeah, it's over. When he glances at his watch and it isn't late, and you try hard to amuse him, but he doesn't concentrate. Just how plainly can he tell you? Does he have to shout out loud? Face it, girl. Oh, yeah, it's over. What's the use in hanging on while he slowly slips away? You don't go along for the ride. Keep some semblance of pride. There's really nothing else you can do.
Here it goes, it goes, it's over. Here it goes, it goes, it's over.
Well, the time has come, I know, for our last goodbye. Guess I'll have to go on living when it's easier to die. Give me strength enough to take it. Take it like a woman should.
You better face it, girl.
Give me the strength I need to take it.
You better face it, girl.
Gotta go on, I gotta make it.
You better face it, girl.
I know it's over. It's over.
And that's it. The show is over. I will be here tomorrow where we're talking about revenge. Is it a good thing or not? Yeah, I have my own views on that topic. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for coming, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Happy New Year. Bye.